Alrighty, gentlemen. Today's daf is daf Ayin Vav, but we're holding still on Ayin Hay on the base. All right, so let's once again review what's happening. We're in the middle of the sugya of the definition of Psuadak and Krushacha. The main yesedes that we learned yesterday was that there's three separate areas that are involved in this halacha, and that the din of Karut, Dach, or, which is a lashon of crushing or tziyah, however we understand that, whether it's cut through or wounded on some level, applies to all three elements. So that we have a din in the penis, in the testicles, and also in the vest, in the chutei hazera. Now, the shaila that we had yesterday was the extent at which the reproductive abilities are affected by this din. We spoke about the halacha lamaisa, the way that the Ramesha Paskin. We spoke about the way that Rusemech Bisman said that if you have a natural problem or a congenital problem, or a problem caused by nature, which is not even illness and so on, it's a very interesting diakon, Rambam, who talks about an act of God as opposed to something that a human causes through negligence, referring now currently to the case of the spear with the palm tree. In other words, we call acts of God things that are unavoidable. They may even be in the sense of a human thing that happened. So maybe something like that, if it would be unavoidable, or say a storm picked them up and dropped them on the palm tree, maybe that would be called a negligence. But anyway, that's not so partial. But in any event, the Sri Schama, we said, was mutter, and because we're Samech Lamaisa on the way that the Rambam learns in those things. How precisely to understand the Rambam, but it's generally accepted that the Rambam learns that wherever an organ was affected by a natural event, a cancer or something like that, or atrophication, even though a doctor, because of that, will end up removing a testicle, for instance, it's not considered to be a Suis Chama, it's considered to be Suis Chama. Lamaisa, many will argue with the Rambam, however, because there's also the Shita here of the Rabbeinu Tam, where he learns that the relationship to reproduction implies, therefore, that the loss of a single testicle is not a problem. We mentioned yesterday, this is about the time side. Despite the fact that we don't pass it like that, we understand that doesn't mean overall reproductive capacity, it has to do with that particular organ's functionality. So the testicle doesn't work. The fact that he may happen to be able to reproduce having another testicle is not no kia lamaisa. But the two shitas together were soybacha. So in other words, it's a sveika. So let's say this person had only one testicle removed, and that testicle itself had atrophied. So then putting the two shitas together, as if the shitas like the Rebbeinu Tam b'chlal was no problem, because he only offers a complete loss of reproductive capacity, and even if we paskin not like that as we do. But maybe the halakha is like the tzad in the Ramban that holds that once you had a sris chama, and the doctor is responding to a natural emergency, he has to cut out a cancer, that's not called Sri Sadam, that's called to put the two sheets together, despite the fact that maybe we wouldn't allow one alone, but there you have all of the posts can rely on it, Ilu, Sveit, Sveit. Then we went into an issue that we're going to continue today, where there's questions of even plastic surgery, as we'll see today, that may reshape the penis, or that may, we're going to see later on, which we raised briefly yesterday, may attempt to seal problems that were yesterday we saw would have caused the halach of Krushavcha. So we spoke about the machlokas, about the different shapes, whether we're worried about exposure to possible ultimate destruction of penile tissue, or whether we're interested more in preserving the nerve structure to be able to make sure that reproductive titillation, so to speak, is still intact. Okay, that's what we were up to, and we're going to continue today with with that last piece. That the halacha, the last thing we said was that Hilchata, according to Rav Popa here, is Bein Kikumus, Bein Kimarzit Shira. Miu Miboyle Lamata Meator Lamala, that's where we had said, and then the Gemara had said, well, obviously it's Lamala Meator, what could possibly be the Tzad Lamata Meator, Afil Nichrat Agri Yidnami, and the Gemara says, Ein Afinami, we're reviewing this today because of the Gea later, even though if one would have cut off the entire area from the Atara down, meaning up in English terms, towards the ground. So how could there be a problem in that area, even if it would be completely missing? It shouldn't be a problem. And indeed, says the Gemara, Ravina to the Shibushal Maremar with the boy, it was only to confuse Maremar. The truth is that this sugya itself, because Tosis wants to be mechalik, he's worried about if a testicle is removed and the person can still reproduce, why does it say over here Nipsa, Nichrat, and so on, O Echad Mehem. So he wants to compare it to Shitato, that the fact is there is not a problem, as long as he can reproduce. So he wants to compare it to some of the dinim of trachis, for instance, a spleen. A spleen that's removed is not a problem, as we know. But a spleen that is punctured is a problem, as we know. In other words, we'll remove a spleen in order to prevent the damage of the ruptured spleen. I mean, we don't say, well, even ruptured is bad, so kosher tain removal is bad. Not true. Chaser is sometimes is better. Says maybe that's the case over here. Pitsia, Krita, and so on will indeed affect, and an existing testicle will affect the whole system. Remove it, it's not a problem. Again, that's all the shitato, which we don't really paskin like him directly in that case. Now, here the Gemara seems to be saying, well, if you would have removed the entire area from the Atara and on, then why would there be a problem of anything else, of reshaping it? So it could possibly be worse than complete removal. I forgot to mention also, yesterday we had the one issue that discusses for the Atara up, which was, I'm saying up in English terms, Atara down in Hebrew terms, down towards the ground. So we had over there the question, and again I explained it, and I think that's probably the best way to like Tosfos, that what we're talking about is not a diagonal puncture. Tosfos, of course, in the diagonal, that's the portion that we're talking about, a puncture would have to go completely through the penis, and without it, it's considered to be a puncture. Because otherwise, what's the Gemara talking about? But the shiloh over there was that if on one side you're talking about mi'atara lamata, so from the bottom it's atara lamata, from the top it's atara lamala, so the havamina was in the Gemara, that's sufficient because it isn't mufalash, because on one side it's not really puncturing an area that's called yid, it's called basar. And the Gemara came out, again, depending on the gear, said, no, even one side is no good, one side is ma'akit. That's how Tosfos learned the circuit. So over here, Havi Uvda, which we're starting today now, three lines up from the bottom. Ahu Uvda da Havi B'matam Mechasya. Now there was a Maisa like this in Matam Mechasya, where Mar Baravashin had a case where someone had a problem Kim Marzev. He was being machmir on the question of exposure to germs and to air, Shalibav, you know. So what he wanted to do was actually plastic surgery. And that way he would get rid of the Marzev shape and create a Kulmus shape. And the Kulmus was not a problem. So he went ahead, Shaf Yemar Baravashi Kukumus V'Achre. So what he did is he removed the Marzev area and was left with a shape like a Kulmus, which would be okay. Now, who moved it out of Pumbedita? There was another Maisa in Pumbedita where he started Gufta the Shechwazera v'Ofik b'Mopin Ketana. Now, this is one of those Gemaras which, again, physically, in our terms, seems completely off the wall. I don't know whether Uncle Art has any maybe modern medical insights into what this could possibly be referring to. But the Gemara throughout makes it very clear that the structure of the penis in those days is not the same as it is today. As the Chazon Ish points out, obviously it's one of those things where we find Nishtanu Teva, but it's certainly absurd to say that it's a mistake because everybody obviously understood what was happening in their own body. And it was clear to them that they had a separate orifice from which they would ejaculate than the one from which they would urinate. And even though that this was almost in exactly the same place, it was only Klipas Hashum, but they were able to tell the difference. Sounds absolutely crazy. I mean, in a few thousand years, there would have been such an evolutionary change. But, says the Chazon Ish, what can you do? That seems to be the reality. Very hard to believe that they didn't know what was happening. I mean, because all throughout the Sugya, they could see very clearly whether this person was urinating from what was usually meant to be an all pure ejaculatory area or not. And this was a problem.
What is the physical
disease?
Is it 1, 2?
Of course. Yeah, whoever is such a thing.
Is it a shut-off valve?
Correct, yeah, but it's way down towards the body, not in something that's in the middle of the penis. It's certainly not where you would notice it. So, the question, therefore, was, since he was istatim gufta de shechvatzera, so the normal area in which the ejaculate would come was apparently, there was some kind of problem that had sealed it, which punctured the membrane between these two areas. So that what was happening was is that he was ejaculating through the area that was originally meant only for urine. Did they have any, nothing? They don't even talk about it?
Nothing.
Oh, they just quote the Chazon Ish. Yes. In English, though, please, for the audience around the world.
In certain cases, it's possible that the Sheikh Hazera comes back into the urine because of its stuck. It comes back into the urinary case.
Yes, that's true.
Out,
but, How would anybody know? That's not going to be a solution.
Since it starts,
the Makkah, I mean.
It's drawn back into the urinary thing, and comes out through.
So you mean, B'makkah doesn't mean B'makkah, it means it came out with urine. Okay, but it's not going to help us in the Gemara later.
Then every person feels that.
Huh?
That would be a rare thing.
Well, yeah, okay, but even so, it could happen. So Rabbi Bar Abaye Lachshuret. So Rabbi Bar Abaye said, okay, what's the problem? It's not Patsua, it's not Nito, it's not Korot. So what's the issue? I mean, basically, it works, however it works. Omer of Papis, or Papi said, oh my God, Mishum da Atum Mimuloi, you know, what kind of Rabbi Bar Abaye? Abaye came from Beit Eli, Rabban Abaye, a lousy family, hopeless family. They come from a hopeless family. And therefore they say these hopeless, absurd things. Amrita mila miliotas. You say things that make no sense at all. Because, and again, this is now the poshut way of understanding the sugya is once again a riot of the yisod that reproduction is central to the determination of tzedakah. B'mekoma mevashla, shelo b'mekoma lo mevashla. You will not have viable sperm if you don't have an intact system in which the sperm now is matured. Okay, so again, This is the way that most learn, which is once again a riot, that as long as things work, it's okay, but if it doesn't work, it's not okay. There is a different approach, which really was taken by later, like the Shalom Eishiv, later Peskin, that maybe this has nothing to do with the Din of Petzua Daka and Machshim, I mean, very dochel, that he can reproduce, it's not a problem, in terms of just determining whether he can reproduce, it's very difficult to believe. Omer of Yidam Rishimu, Nikav, I mean, it's time. If, in fact, there was a hole that had appeared that allowed now the ejaculate to come out from the wrong place, and that, of course, can happen even without this strange description that they have. It could certainly happen that it would be a naked, and the penis happens often, in which you have things coming out from the wrong places. Koshilu, if it became sealed again, v'nistan, so then all that we need to see is whether the sealant is going to hold up under the pressure of ejaculation. It may look sealed, but it may not really be sealed. So koshilo nikri v'nikra, if upon ejaculating this is going to tear, so then pasulis, I consider it to be a stima. V'yelav kasher. But if it's not, then it's not a problem. Habe be rava, so rava didn't understand the psak over here. What are we talking about? Hecha. Yilei v'lamata mehatar, we're talking about something that was in the wrong place, meaning from the Atara and down. I thought we said that's not a problem. Afilu nichrat nami, even if there would be nothing there at all, it's not a problem, and therefore it couldn't be a problem here. So what are we talking about? Certainly if it's below towards the body, it shouldn't be a problem, because by the time there's pressure that is built, it's going to be built up to the point where it's going to come out under pressure from the top. So why would that be a problem? So I don't get where the place is. The place is batara atzma. This is one of the riyas, by the way, that the meaning of the word atara is the ridge, not the entire crown, but the ridge. So it's right in a place where if it will tear, it may tear directly beneath the ridge, in which case that would cause the problem to be lamata. And now it isn't. Lamala. But now it isn't lamala. That's the situation. Itmar nami omer amari barmar, omer maruka omer shmuel, nike batara atzma. Vinistam, this refers again atratzma in the ridged area, and now it's become sealed. Koshi ilu nikri v'nikra pasur. If it's going to tear under ejaculation, it's pasul. V'ilav kasher, but if it's going to hold up to ejaculation, it's okay. Shalach le Rava bereda Rava Rav Yosef. So Rava sent aloha lemaista Rav Yosef, yilamdenu rabenu hechi avdina. And how are we supposed to test this? I mean, we're supposed to allow it to masturbate. To test it is not reasonable. Otherwise, assuming that we certainly want to be matir, the fairish, going ahead and physically masturbating. We encourage him to ejaculate. So maitina na'ama chamima desari. We take like this warm bread that's made out of barley. Uminechen layabe pukre umakre. You have to know the spot, you put it on a spot which is near the testicles, close to the anus, and that will cause him to be sufficiently stimulated to ejaculate. V'chazina layin, you test now the stima as he ejaculates. Omra Abaye, what kind of Tukuli Yama Yaakov Avinu have? Is a problem to figure out how to get people to ejaculate? But everybody's like Yaakov Avinu. Dichtibe kochiva reshit onish, all right, carry me Yama, but it's going to be so hard to get a guy to ejaculate. You give him some dirty magazines or something. Says Abaye Mahavirina, come a big dixivon, and you take them, pretty close, and you turn them on. I mean, that was their equivalent of Playboy magazine. He said, big dixivon.
I say Rachel,
for a second. You have to know her. Oh, my Rabbi says, Rabbi, I mean, yeah, and everybody is Barzilai Agiladit, ejaculate because they see a little bit of clothing. This is Rabbi Shita, that Barzilai Agiladit was Shatuf Kuznus, and that's why he couldn't taste anything in it. It's a machlokas, whether he was a liar or whether he was a Shatuf Kuznus. Okay, so assuming Barzilai Agiladit, David invited him to come to his table. He said, I'm an old guy, you think I taste anything anymore? So the question is, did he really taste? Or does it mean that somebody Shatuf Kuznus doesn't end up losing his squishy? Anyway, so what, everybody's going to get turned on with a couple of stupid clothing? What's the matter with you? The first approach is the best approach. There's some type of physical area that stimulates the nerves to allow ejaculation, and that's what we use. Lamaisa, we don't know how to do this.
They stimulate the prostate, but through the rectum.
Yeah, so it's some type of...
ejaculation.
Not ejaculation. But here we need ejaculation. It's not good enough, because we need the pressure. So, I mean, Lamaisa, the Achiezer, the Chuvas Achiezer says, nowadays we just don't know how to do this. We do allow to physically cause ejaculation directly. Of course, a lot of people don't like that.
We do allow, yeah. What's that?
Look, the problem over here is a logistical problem. It's not like a magic thing like treifas. It's a nekev, local logic, Sinai, boom, it's treif. Over here, it's logistic. I mean, the reason that a hole in the penis is going to make a problem is because he should take. He ends up being unable to ejaculate under pressure, and we know that the Gemara says, the Shmuel says, that if Ekoshe Vazer Hashem, Yorek Chetz, is not going to be useful for reproduction. And that's the problem. And therefore, Nistam, as long as you handle that problem, so Kashem, Ripnei Shu Molid. I mean, once you've got it fixed, so it's fixed. This is a psul that goes back to being kosher again. It's not like treifas, which of course is the point of the zeu. Zeu lamutei mamzei. This is the kind of psul that could be reconstructed, as opposed to what not. We have a hole in the lung. And over there you have now a membrane that is grown in the lung. And there it looks like it's sealed. That's not considered to be properly sealed. That's not a krum, which of course is the main problem in treifas, in which we check the lung, and wherever we find an adhesion, we assume the adhesion was caused because of leakage through what is now being sealed by that crude. And since we can't rely on it, so therefore we have to assume that the lung has a hole in it, which makes it almost impossible to find an animal that doesn't have a hole in the lung, and so on and so forth. So,
unless you don't look for it.
What's that?
Unless you don't look.
Unless you don't look. Or unless you make on what you call an adhesion, which is what the Ashkenazim did. So, Shalach le Ravidi Barabin Abai, Hechi Abdina, can you give me a practical solution to a penis with a hole? Is there a way that we could, this is very, they did not have microsurgery that was, that they could use. How do we get this kind of thing healed? Martina Tsa'arta, Misartina, what we do is we take a grain of barley, you use the sharp edge to irritate the area around the place where the hole has appeared, so that you get raw skin there. And then Maitinan Tarba, you take fat, Vishaifinan, and you rub it on the edge of the hole. Maitinan, this by the way is used till today by Aborigines, it's on this approach for microsurgery, is to use insects for microsurgery. That's exactly what they do. You bring an ant, a large ant, Umanatpinadle, and you have the ant bite, the Shiltas understands, bite through because of the Tarba. The ant will bite into the wound and then you cut off its head, which leaves the mandibles of the ant as micro sutures in the penis right where it has to close up the hole. And then gradually the ant simply dissolves. It's the modern equivalent of, you know, these self-dissolving sutures. And paskina leilareshe, you cut off its head, but make sure, dafka sa'arta, do not use what these silly doctors, they use their metal kaolin, that's terrible. only use barley, because parzala, if you use metal in order to cut around the wound, mizrazarth, what it does is it causes a reaction that creates swelling. The swelling makes it more difficult for the wound to heal, to close up. You want it to close up completely. And this only works now, honey in the katan, this is only going to work if the hole is small. Big discussions about what's the size of small. Avogadol mikpule mikpil. If it's a large hole, it's going to end up now reopening after it's under pressure. Omar Rababar, but Rashi has a different approach in which the actual head of the ant is being used as an irritant in the hole, and eventually it seals up, pushing out the head. The Shiotis' approach is what is used around the world, actually. So it's more likely that this is what
very
they were doing.
Huh? I read about that years ago, and I thought it was very interesting, and now that it's here,
it's
incredible.
It's amazing. I mean, look, the usage of various things for, like leeches, or bloodletting, and all kinds of things. I mean, it's very effective. Your technology is limited, and there's a lot of good technology out there and evolutionary processes that we haven't caught up with, so we use it. Omer Baruch, Hamatil Mayim Shtei Mekomot. Now, here we got the same problem. Pasul. So somebody now, unless we learn the Shtei Mekomot means something else. So somebody, we could, in modern terms, we could say that somebody who has two areas in which he's going to urinate from, so that means now there's going to be less of a buildup of pressure for ejaculation. He's possible. Omar Rava, Letil Kataloki, Brava, Loka Abba. We don't paskin, not like the father and not like the son. Okay? Bra, when I'm talking about the Bra, I mean Rava, Bar, Ravuna. We don't paskin like that. And actually, it's okay. And the Abba, what I was referring to, was Ravuna. Ravuna was the one who said that Nashima, Misololodzo, Vizo, Bisulovakuna, that lesbians are not allowed to marry a Kohen because they're considered to be Zonot. So we don't pass it like that. Afil Rabbi Elazar, the Amr Panuya Bala Pnuya, Shalot Shemishut, Asa Zonah, even if you would be very machmer like Rabbi Elazar, which we don't hold of, who holds that casual sex is also Znut, Hani Mili Ish, that's only a male, because over there you have penetrations, so at least they can do something. Aval Isha Pritsuta Biyama, but carrying on with pleasurable sexual activities without any penetration is not considered to be znut, even according to Rabbi Elazar. And therefore, there's no problem. I always think the Rambam says, it's not the Rambam Paskins, Nashima Misolotza Bazo are not sulot. And he says, because there's no bia, in Sham bia. So that's lesbian. There is no bia. Very cute. Okay. So there's your simen. Your simen that there's no psu. Let me the Lord of Misa be all right.
Oh, man.
Sabah Josh, you've been waiting for this a long time.
The Heidi Commissioner.
You notice that now that those earphones are magnifying his voice, he doesn't speak very loudly anymore. We used to be able to, why don't you turn the volume down and give us a good hearty stuff?
Just to vibrate back into it.
Worried about the feedback.
Zook the Heidi Commissioner.
Pitsua Daka, Lukhruchovka, Mutarim Begioret Kumishukhreret. So, if you hold, as this Mishnah does, like the Tana who holds that Kahal Geirim lo Igri Kahal, and the Torah only asked it to a Daka Chushavcha lo Yavo beKahal Hashem, then the Kahal Geirim is not a Kahal, and there'd be no problem. So they could marry a Giyoret, they could marry a Shifcha Mishuchreret, Ve'inan Asurin Ela Milavo beKahal, Shem lo Yavo B'tzua Daka Chushavcha beKahal Hashem. What do you name Rav Sheshes? How about a B'tzua Daka who's a Kohen? Would he be allowed, because of the fact that he himself cannot marry into the Kahal? So now, maybe that means that he's now flipped down to a lower level, in which people who also love the Kahal are mutter lovo zebezu. And perhaps then, he would be mutter. My question is this. Is it that the Kohen, although he can't be Baal Kahal, retains the Kedusha of the Kahuna, and these are two separate areas. There's the Kedusha that has to do with marriage, and there's the Kedusha of the Kuna for other things as well. So does he retain his Kedusha, therefore would be Usur? Oh, Dilma, or do we say, once a Kohen is Usur in intermarrying with Klal Yisrael, he does not retain his Kedusha's Kuna, and therefore, Lav Kedusha Tekoi Vishari. Istinis? We all marry Istinis, let me tell you.
Islandists?
Istinis is spoiled.
Islandists?
Islandis is not connected to the Kuna. There's no Kuna.
But she can't have.
Yeah, but that's not the point. It's
the closest it come. Like
no, there's no issue there. Omar Le Rav Sheshes Tenitua. Seems very clear from the Braita that says, Betsua Daka Yisrael Mutar Menitina. How could a Betsua Daka, now Rashi's Girsa is not Yisrael, because otherwise it ruins all the sugya over here. It's just an assumption. But Betsua Daka, stop. Mutar Benetina. So now, Isak Kadaifu Kedusha Tekoi. If you're going to tell me that a Betsua Daka retains his Kedusha, how could he marry an Atina? Because, I mean, it says Lotit Hatemban. So we see from here that the idea is that a Betsua Daka loses the Darga of Kedusha that is given to him. So that, apparently, the same thing would be true here. Omar Rava, what does it have to do with this? You're getting very confused. The issue of Netina has nothing to do with Kedusha. It's nothing to do with Kedusha. We're not concerned with the Kedusha level. We're concerned with the problem of Dilma Moli Ben Vazul Palak Lavodat Kochavim. All that we're afraid of over here is the Isser, because, as we'll see, the Rabbonin were Gozer on the Netinim. The Rabbonin, we mean from the time of David HaMelech, after the Maisa of the children of Shaul, that the Givonim were not Labmi B'nei Yisrael Hema, vicious people, angry people. That's not Jewish Midah, so he was Gozer on them that they shouldn't be Bo L'Kahal. But, I mean, the whole Isser, the Araisa, I mean, Vahani Mili Be'yotam of Deko Chavim, but Kibigayri B'Yisrael Shor. Look, the issue of Kedusha was only while they were going. Once they were from the Shiva Ami, who pretended to be from somewhere else, that they should be wiped out. But Lamaisa, they all became Gerim. Once they became Gerim, there's no Isser of Chitun, of Lotit Chatein Bahem. We'll see whether this is true. And therefore, so what was the problem? Ki Megayri, actually, once they're Megayri, so then they're Mutter be Yisrael. There shouldn't be any from, or the Gersa would be Mishra Shori, because otherwise the Shor would be Yisrael. Rabbonin de Gazer, but it's just that Din that Dovid HaMelech was Gozer. So why was he Gozer? To have children with these vicious people. They should grow up and they'll end up like them and they're worshipping like them and thinking like them. So he goes with Rabbonim, but Hanukkah B'nei Uludim. The Gezerah, the Rabbonim, was only on people who could have children. Since by definition, once again, we see the same halacha, the Psua Daka does not have children. So then, the Lav Bari Lude, why would the Rabbonim make a Gezerah? Why make life difficult? The guy fell in love with a Netina. Why shouldn't he be allowed to marry a Netina? So they were never Gozer in such a case. And therefore, this is irrelevant to the whole sugya. You thought it was an issue of Kedusha. It was an issue of intermarriage in terms of midot and abadis kochavim. There's no gezerah except in terms of children. So, wait a minute. So then, what knows you're saying that there's a gezerah? So, how about a mamzer? Mamzer can have children, so we should have the same gezerah. Mamzer has children. You want his children to grow up with these people and worship avodah zarah and learn to have those kind of midot. So, according to you, a mamzer who's barulu, they should be usher, because you're saying that the definition of the gezerah the rabbanan is in terms of can they have children? The halacha is the first in the mishnah. Vatzan mamzerim unetinim mutarim levazer. What are you telling me? That if you can have children as an issur that's unrelated to chitun, it doesn't make sense. Okay, I'll adjust it a little bit. Okay, ki gozer rabbanan b'ksherim. The Rabbanan were not gozer, b'psulim lo gozer Rabbanan, not because of iludi or lo iludi, but because it's just, it doesn't happen that often. But you get a psul of a b'tzua daka, a mom who's going to marry in a seed. To answer those rare cases where this was the only way that the guy basically found a way out of living with a woman, so they didn't answer it. It's a milsa de lo shchicha. They didn't answer. That's what I meant. You're right. It doesn't have to do specifically with the case of whether the person could have children or not. After Rava thought about it, he realized it was not making sense. Oh, no, Rama Raza, forget it. Lav milta yanach. Everything I said was wrong. Okay? I was assuming that lo titchateinbam was while they were going. And that after they became Jewish, there would be no issue. But that's crazy. It can't be. The lo titchateinbam has to mean after they've been misguided. Because, I mean, if they were biyodam of dekochavim, let lu chatnuta. Why would the Torah call it marry? You can't marry someone who's not shayach. So, I mean, what kind of use of a word? Lotit chatein means that it's shayach to get married. That would only be if they were already Jewish. It's only nidgayru itul chatnut. The only possible way. You don't want Leah to be held responsible. Keep
chair.
Sure.
It's the chair.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry. Richie.
He's in the lounge chair.
So therefore, itlu chatnut. And I must have been wrong, and actually the Isser of the Natin is really a Natin, the Isser of the Klal and the Goyin would really be an Isser after the Arnit Gai. Wait a second. That's not true. We use the word Chitun for Goyim. It says, Vayitchatein Shlomo et Bat Paro Melech Mitzrayim. He was Megayer, of course. The Uri guy, what do you think? Shlomo took himself a shikta. What's the matter with you? So, I mean, there's an old, this is Bitya Bat Paro, basically reincarnated. I mean, only the absolute best. Yeah, but I thought, Lo Kiblu Gerim, Lo Bimei David, Lo Bimei Shlomo. I thought we didn't accept Gerim in those days. Of course we didn't accept Gerim. Why not? Because we're afraid. The only reason of being Megayer is because, oh, the Jews have it so good. Who wouldn't want to be a Jew? But, I mean, a woman who's a princess, I mean, you know, she's got it pretty good back there in the palace. So why did she have Cleopatra now coming to be Megayer? Good enough to control your own country. So she doesn't need it. And therefore, since she didn't need it, so he accepted her as a Giyoret, and then he married her.
Yes, sir. At the beginning, why would it be Bimei Shlomo? He hasn't got that status yet. It hasn't become Bimei Shlomo yet with all the riches and the wealth. He just basically started, you know, too
early on. Did he lost all of his besides money early on, and then he had to rebuild?
We're talking about the beginning. Before he's...
I understand, but I mean, Dovah was already there.
Political reasons any better than Shulchan Aruch?
For political reasons?
Political lines is any better than Shulchan Aruch?
There's no gezerah of not being Mekayim, not being Mekabel. I mean, the whole thing, after all, it's not an absolute. So, we held it, wasn't there. It's a question of judgment in all of these issues. You know, do we really assess this as meaningful or not? The tape clay, but wait a second. Anyway, there's a problem of Chatanut, because she's a Mitzrit Rishona, right? Right? She was first generation Mitzrit. You're not allowed to marry a first generation Mitzrit. So anyway, I think the same Raya, it says Chatanut, despite the fact that this was Osir. So Osir says, well, I said, well, what does that have to do with it? Of course, it's still Taifas Kedushin. What are we going to assume? That Dafkim Shlomo Melech had to hold of Rabbi Akiva? I mean, why is this a Raya to anything? Right? So Tosu says this is not proved a bit of Chatanut. It's just the Gemara is saying, but hey,
how could he do this?
Exactly. I mean, you're telling me that it was Megayer her, so obviously he's trying to legalize this. I mean, so what kind of legalities are that? V'chitem, and maybe you'll say, the Mitzrim that the Torah asks aren't people living in the land of Egypt. They have to be the Mitzrim who would be descendants of the actual Mitzrim who were there at the time of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And they're no longer there. Things have changed, and other people, who knows, those old Hiskers, you know, they took over the... Then this is a different nation. It's Anak Azri Alma, Vani Achrinu, and we have Velikovsky recreated. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. This can't be true, because we know that Rabbi Yehuda said that I had a chaver, Mamacha Musa was a Ger Mitzri. His name was Binyamin. And he was one of the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva. We used to learn together, and he would tell me in those, you know, on the way to just get a cup of water. And, yeah, we talked a little bit about our personal lives. And he said, "Look, I'm a Mitzri Rishon, you know," and I went ahead and I married a Mitzri Rishon now. But I want our kid's going to be a Sheni. Our kid's going to be a Sheni. I'm going to find him a second generation to marry, so that our grandson is going to be kosher. So one of these days I'm going to invite you to like a 100% kosher bris. So just stay tuned. So it's a cute story. I see Levni Mitzri Shniya, Kedesh Ben Benira. We love Obakal. So Mamela, it would appear that Lamaisa we do keep. Now, even though it's interesting, we don't say that's kufa. Rabbi Akiva says nonsense. Klabas al cheref. He was Mabalo kalawumais. He doesn't really have a din of a mitzvah. This we have, but this is before some cheref. That's necessarily. It appears that Shlomo Mela. So it appears that we have no reason to assume that this is considered to be some other nation. Amr Papa, I don't get Bichlal what the whole issue is over here, that you're talking about Chatzmilut and so on, and how this could be, and what's going on. Anani Shlomo Leku, Nasi, well, we're going to ask a question from Shlomo. There's nothing to talk about over here. Shlomo Nasi, but Shlomo was not interested in marriage. He was interested in sex. Notice what it says over. It doesn't say anything about marriage. It says sticking it out for love, okay? So it's love. Otherwise, don't talk about love when it should be talking about marriage, particularly if it's a political marriage. It's saying, li'ishut. Does it say anything about li'ishut? Does it say anything about li'itchatein? It says for love. So then why does it say v'yitchatein? So kasha v'yitchatein? I mean, that's clear. No, that's the whole point. He was so in love with her that it's as if he married her. That's the point. We're using it not as a euphemism. We're using it as an indication of the depth of his love for her. I think you lost the thread. The thread was, we were trying to bring a raya about whether, we're no longer talking about the tzedak, we're trying to bring a raya whether the iser of chitun, lot tchatenba, is said about a goy, or is it said about a goy who became a ger from the Shiva Amami, which would affect, therefore, the nitinim, which would then be a way, different way of our understanding of raya, lagavi, the kedushin of tzedakah. But we, first, step first, is the lashon vayitchaten shayach on the goy. And we're saying, Rav Papa is saying, what are you looking to Shlomo to bring a raya about the shonas of chitun? It doesn't really mean chitun at all. And it's clear from the context that the Torah is just telling the extent of his obsession, not the question of whether there's a
mitzvah there. Like without it,
yeah, maybe just review it. It sounds to me like you got caught into a warp over here somewhere. Omar le Rav Yehuda Ravashi. Banantnan, tzuadaka, uchrot shavcha. The girsa that the Bach brings in is, well, that's not the way we read the Mishnah. We don't read the Mishnah like that. Because it says, Psuadaka Kurshovcha, Mutarin, Bidyorit, Umishukhrerit. Note that it says that if there's a heter for marrying into a Giyorit and Mishukhrerit, it doesn't say anything about its kosher to marry a Nitina, which would imply that indeed a Kurot Shofcha and Psuadaka have a din of Kedushas Yisrael. The Mishnah is only talking about the problem of whether Kahal Gerit is Ikri Kahal. But certainly, they are considered to be Yisrael, with all the Kedushas Yisrael, and therefore there's an Isser on the Sina as well.
But
in which case, for the Kohen, it would also be Isser on the Sina.
We said a Giorit, a Mutter. How do we know that the Nesina, when she's...
No, that's whatever Isser was there on the Nesina. We're saying it's Isser. And that's a Dina Kedushas Yisrael. You're trying to bring a raya that having lost that Kedusha, the Gioret and the Mishukhreret is a loss of the problem of Lavo B'Kahal. So they're not Kahal, so even if he would be...
I'm just curious, how do we know the Mishnah isn't calling this Nesina?
Oh, but you think that the Mishnah means that excludes the Nesina. So then Ema Seifa, look at the next piece of the Mishnah. The Einan Asrin Ela Milavo B'Kahal. The only issue that they have is where there's a real issue of Lavo B'Kahal. Now, that does not include Nesina. There is no issue of Lavo B'Kahal in Nesina. Hovin Nesina Sharon. So, obviously, the Mishnah is not attempting to make that diya, because David just pointed out. So, Me'acha Lekha the Mishnah, this is not a valid basis for bringing a raya. Halakha Lamais is a major, major question about, among the poskim, about whether Rava was correct the first time or the second time. This is the issue of Lotz Chatenba, of the Shiva Amir. Go. It's draining him. Does this thing have its own battery, or is it plugged into you? Amoni u'moavi asurim v'yisuram yisurolam. So the Amoni and the Moavi are osur forever. The males, havel nekevotehen mutarot miyad. But the females are mutar even first generation. Whereas a Mitzri and Adomi are not Asurim forever, they're only Asurim until the third generation, Elat Shlosh Adorot, but there, surprisingly, Echad Zecharim Vechad Nekevot. So on one hand, the Mitzri and Adomi are more Kal, but on the other hand, they're more Chomir. We saw this already in the Machlokas earlier, Kosha Tanoseh Et Bito, versus the other vision of if the Zerah is Kosher, so then the mother is Kosher. Rabbi Shimon is Mater Et Nekevot Miyad. Rabbi Shimon says, that doesn't make any sense. It's a kavachomer. I'm Rabbi Shimon kavachomer at point. If in a mokum shasar tazacharim isur olam, where you have Amoni u'Moavi, where the isur over there on the marriage is for all generations, and nonetheless, despite that chumra, he tirat on the kevot miyad. The Torah says that you can immediately marry in the kevot. So mokum shelo asar tazacharim elat shloshadarot. Eino din shenatir in the kevot miyad. And how can you think that the Torah meant to answer? It's contradictory. If it's being makel on a mitzri and adoni. For third generation. So obviously it's not going to start by being more machmir on the women than it was with Moavi and Amoni. Omrulo. So they said to him, okay, it's very logical, perhaps, although we do have a response, as we'll see. If you're telling us halacha lemaisa in terms of halacha that you were makabel from your Rebbe, you were makabel maybe from Eish Rabbeinu, I mean, we're ready to accept it. If you want to start arguing, we can start arguing. Im ladin yesh tshuva. Omrulo. I'm telling it to you like it's a din, but the truth is, halacha ani omer. I'm telling you, this is what I was makabel. Minani mila. Now, where do we know this whole issue? Of course, we know that the subtext of Yevamot is all basically about David HaMelech, the story of Tamar and Ruth, and so on. And this is really why we've gotten to this issue over here, because it's the historical description of the process of Yevam from the time of Kayin onwards. We mentioned the Marsha, who learns that's the end of Chagiga, which it would be Mechavere to Yevamas. And so we finally get to the part of the Gemara that discusses openly the Maisa of David, Ruth, and so on. So the Omer of Yochanan, look, it says what when David was running to attack Goliath, who of course was the son of the other woman, Orpah, and Shaul sees David running out there, and he's pretty nervous. Kiraot Shaul, David, Yotzei Likrat HaPlishti. He turns to Avner, the Sarat Zabah. He says, God, who is that kid? Ven Miz Anar Avner. And Avner says, be damned if I know. I nafkam el yadati. Now that's crazy. Fellow Yada, like, I understand. We had a whole story that introduces this story way before, in which Shaul falls in love with David, calls for him from the father, sends for him to now become his musician and so on. And Vayaveu Ma'od, Vayilo Nosei Kelim. So what do you mean? Who is he? What's that supposed to mean? Who is he? No, he wasn't asking who is he. He was asking Ben Mizanar. He wasn't who his father was. Oh, come on. His father was famous. One of the greatest leaders of the nation. You're saying he didn't know the father. But Aviv lo yadalei, v'yachtiva ish b'mei Shaul zakein baba nashim. Yishai, David's father, was already an elder who would be baba nashim, which says Rav, Ritem Rav Arva. This means that this is Yishai Avidovich nichnas b'chusa, v'yatsa b'chusa. We use that word baba nashim in the sense of 600,000 people. So this was a man who was a sar of Sheshmiot Elef, like the Mispar B'nai Yisrael in the Midbar. You tell me he didn't know who this was. So it couldn't mean that either. It's got to mean something more profound. Shaul is saying, no, I'm getting nervous about this kid. Who does this? I know that he's a leader. I know that he's from Yehuda. I know that he's even from Tamar. Of course I know. Everybody knew. Okay. But I'm not sure. Is he from the line of Peretz or is he from the line of Zerach? If he's from Peretz, I'm really nervous. Because Peretz is a siman to Malchus. Because Peretz was the one who forced his way out of the womb, so to speak. Peretz Talecha Peretz. And that's a siman to Malchus. Sham Melech Peretz Lasod Derech. Veinim Achim B'yadav. One of the simonim of Malchut is eminent domain. He can take what he wants, do what he wants, make roads where he wants. This kid looks to me like he's got that kind of attitude. And when I see someone with attitude, I get very nervous. So can we trace his lineage, please?
He's worried for his Malucha?
Yeah, we'll see. If he's from Zerach, okay, so then you're right. I mean, what I'm seeing, I'm not imagining. But it would be only Chashiva be'almahab. See, he'll be a great leader, but he's not competition. Omar Lay, so he said, go ahead and shout. So my time, Omar Lay, Shaul Lay, what was it that really was getting to him over here? It says, Vayalbei Shaul David Madav. That Shaul had put on his armor on David, which is ridiculous. David is this little kid, and Shaul was Mishichmo Lamala Gavor Mikola Am. And yet it says, Scrawny, young man. Mi David means, Madav means Kimidato.
Who's
David? David. Uchtiv baby Shaul Mishichmo Lamala Gavor Mikola Am. How did it fit? And it fit. Oh boy, he said, this is not good, not good, not good. So he was worried about his Malchus. So that's where Doeg Adomi starts getting involved. I'm like, Doeg Adomi, what are we worried over here about him becoming Malchus? You got to worry whether he even has a din of a Jew. Is he kosher l'avod b'kahal? Who's going to look at a kid like this from Moab? What's the matter with you? Achata mashil olavim agunu l'malchut in love. Shal olavim roi l'avod b'kahal in love. I'll tell you who he is. He's from Rut, Moabiyah. Says Avner, now wait a minute. It's not an issue. It says, Amuni v'lo Amunit. Moabi v'lo Moabit. That's a good drasha. Says Doeg, yeah, that's a good drasha. Says Mamzer, v'lo Mamzeret. How about for your son? The same drasha k'tiv. That's different. There, I mean, the lashon of Mamzer. Mamzer means mum zar. Anything that comes from an alien relationship is also. But over here, I should certainly be able to darshan. Moabi v'lo Moabit. All right, he says good. got a better one for you. Mitzri v'lo mitzrit. How about that? Now, of course, that's looking at our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon, because that's basically what he's saying. We'll get back to that. It's mitzri v'lo mitzrit. No, he says that's different. Because when it comes to Moab and Ammon, it says beferish, why you shall not marry into them. Al asher lo kidmu etchem belachem uvamayim. It says beferish a reason in the Torah, right? Al dvar asher lo kidmu etchem belachem uvamayim. So what is that coming to teach us? That those who are to the derech for them to leave their homes certainly would not include things like women, like other wives, to leave a house, to be marked, so they would not do such a thing. Darka shalish l'kadem, it's not darka shalish l'kadem, what, that woman's going to come out into the street and so on. Not possible. Why not? I mean, you could have had the men greeting the men, anashim, likrat anashim, and anashim likrat anashim. That would have been even nicer. That's what we would have expected. Right? The Baruch Hu expects the men to come and to bring food to the women of Israel. So what should have been, they should have come out. Here's the Am HaYotzeh min Mitzrayim. Oh, what a chance to do covet to Israel. Instead, nothing. He had nothing to answer. So at that point, Niyad Vayomer HaMelech, She'alata ben Miza Elen. Now, how did he change the word that he referred to him with? Because before he said Anar. Now he's saying Elen. What happened over here? First, also Karli Nar, also Karli Elen. Hokiko Amarle. See, what he was saying was to Amar, you, Elen. Now we don't know what the halacha is. Go ask the Beis HaMedrash. So say v'shal the Beis HaMedrash. Sha'al. Okay, so they went to the Beis HaMedrash. Amonim v'lo amonit. Moavim v'lo moavit. Nonetheless, Doeg said, but what about my raya? Why not say mamzer v'lo mamzeret? They answered, mitzri v'lo mitzri. Actually, Doeg kolani kushiyotav. Ishtiku. He shut them up also. Oh my gosh, this is a big problem. Almost as bad as a Bechor Satan. And so, they wanted to put out signs, paskvilin. Nobody think twice about this Ben Yishai character. He's possibly lama bekah. What happens, we shall see tomorrow. Oh,